First, I'm going to read a brief reading from Luke, and then Matthew, and then Mark. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. In Matthew, many women were also there looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. Now would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Sermon notes can be found on the green insert. So today we're moving on in our series of being called, hearing, responding to God's word. And so let's take a look at where we've been. First, we started off with Abraham in the Old Testament and Abraham's call to be the father of many nations. And Abraham, who at age 99 was given the gift of a son and was also given the gift of being the father of all the world as God had called him. And then we went to the boy Samuel, the young 10-year-old boy who was called by God to be his voice to the world. And then last week, we talked about Jonah. Jonah, that person who God called, and Jonah said no. That person who was reluctant to the voice of Jesus, to the voice of God, and who God remained and claimed him. And Jonah finally succumbed to the voice of God. But today, very different person that we're gonna focus on. Today we're gonna talk about Mary Magdalene. You know, I think the call of Mary Magdalene is probably one of the most powerful, one of the most tender, and one of the most intimate in the entire Bible. Not to mention that it's the call of a woman. Sermon note number one, the call of a woman who is sent to declare the resurrection of the Lord to all of her male counterparts. You know, so much of the Bible is so male-dominated, but with Mary Magdalene, we get this person who is called to declare the resurrection of the Lord to all of her male counterparts. But I think it's just one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible, and we have to read it, and I feel like today we have to touch on it. So what we know about Mary Magdalene is that she's probably a single woman. We might think of her last name, Mary Magdalene. She was from Magdala, which is a small fishing village. And because if she was married, she would have been called Mary the wife of. Because in that society, you were the wife of someone. You didn't have your own distinct name. Because of this, we know from Scripture that Mary was cured of demons. And out of that, she feels this incredible gratitude for what Jesus has done for her. And so she helps to support him and his disciples. And because of that, she probably was a woman of means. And when we meet Mary Magdalene, she's with a group of women who have been healed, who provide for Jesus and his followers out of their resources, wanting to give back to the person who has done so much for them. These are women who Jesus probably reintroduced to society to bring his healing and his wholeness in their lives. But get this, sermon night number two, she has a greater role in Jesus' life and ministry as those we often hear about, like James and John and Peter. And this, and Mary Magdalene gets this reputation for some reason as being this bad girl or being, I don't know, what do you think of when you think of Mary Magdalene? Anybody? Prostitute? A sinner? But in any respect, this reputation of being a bad girl, get a load of this, really came about 500 years after the fact. And actually, she's really this devoted follower of Christ who's been healed by him, and out of her devotion for him, supports him. You know, when I think about the story of Mary Magdalene, I think that Mary has the staying power. That's one of the great themes in the Gospel of John, is to remain and stay, is to show that you're a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. She stays. She stays at the cross when everyone else is running away. She stays to see where Jesus' body is buried. She comes back to the tomb Easter morning because she wants to be near where he is, and she mourns his loss so desperately that she cannot be where Jesus is. And she doesn't know what to do with this grief. Have you ever been there? Have you ever not known what to do with grief? I mean, the story of Mary Magdalene is absolutely amazing. That she would love our Savior so much that she would stay when everyone else was running away. And yet, in her humanness, Mary felt an intense amount of grief, and she didn't know what to do. And as we go on with the story, we're going to hear about that. But I want to just stop here with the call of Mary Magdalene and just kind of frame for you where Mary was. A tremendous grief to lose the man who saved her, the man who introduced her to society, the one who she had stood by with his mother and his disciples. But Mary is the story so inspirational because she searches so much for Jesus in her grief, and she's able to find it. So I just want to take a minute and just talk about that. Have you ever been there, so lost in your grief that you just didn't know how to find it again? And yet God does something when we continue on with the story of Mary Magdalene. You know, sometimes as a pastor, sometimes as a counselor, a leader, you know, it's difficult sometimes to have friends, because when you're a leader, when you're a counselor, you always have this little thing that you have between you and people. There's a what we call it a boundary. And those of you who have been in leadership roles, you know about how boundaries sometimes have to be put in place. So most of my life, I've had that boundary. People say, well, John, you're such an extrovert. And I say, yeah, I am, but there's a lot of me that really is just kind of to myself. And so sometimes I have difficulty letting people in or even acknowledging some of my own emotions. I may have told you this story before, and if I have, forgive me, but I remember a period in my life when I was serving a church and I met somebody, another guy who was probably my age and probably just the opposite of me. NASCAR race driver, did the races on Saturday night. I mean, just kind of a little rough cut, you know, coming with his biker jacket into church. I mean, you know, you'd hear his motorcycle coming down the country road, you know, as you knew he was in church. But for some odd reason, we kind of clicked. And I'll never forget, you know, getting to know him. Doug was his name. Getting to know him and getting to actually lead him to recognizing God as his Lord and Savior. Having him come down to the altar and find the Lord Jesus in his life. It was pretty amazing. And I remember he was one of the trustees for a while. And I remember after our meeting, we would stand outside of the church, and this church was on a hill, and it was called Paradise Hill. And I always wonder why it was called Paradise Hill, but then as I learned, many people had their first date on Paradise Hill, so whatever that means. But you got to imagine this. We're out in the middle of the country, and it's beautiful, and it's starry, and the church is here, and the parsonage is right by 2 feet next to it, so you know you can hear everything in the church and the parsonage, everything in the parsonage and the church. And I just remember, you know, standing out there talking to him about God, talking to him about being called, and then starting to talk to him about life and talk to him about, you know, what's going on with him. But I started to open up myself. I was like, wow, this is different. Especially, I mean, you know, we're like, I mean, you wouldn't catch me on a motorcycle, okay? I just don't do it, okay? So it was just pretty amazing, and I'll never forget that, you know, just feeling like, God, thank you that you broke some of these walls down, and you know, that I've got this. And I'll never forget, after church on one Sunday, we talked, we were in the Northex talking, and, you know, he said, I've got to get home. And what had happened was his mother-in-law had passed away. And he asked me if I would do the funeral service for her. And I said, absolutely. And so on his way home, he left me a voicemail. And this is what the voicemail says. And I still have it on my phone 10 years later. I mean, have you ever done that, kept something on your phone? I'll tell you why in a minute. So he leaves me this voicemail, and he says, John, can you call my wife Mary when you get this? She's really going to need your help between today and tomorrow. Tomorrow was to be the funeral. And I picked up the voicemail, and I get home. And at that point in time, you know, home was probably about 20, 25 minutes from where the church was. And I walk in the door, and my wife looks white as a ghost. Just white as a ghost. And she said, John, I've got something. I have to tell you something. She goes, I just got a phone call. She said, Doug is dead. Driving home, had gotten into an accident, was killed instantly. I listened to that voicemail again, and I thought, God, I know you're calling me to this. I know you're calling me to the ministry. I know you're calling me to follow you, but I can't do this right now. And what happened was I had to go to the morgue, help identify. I was lost. And that next day, I did his mother-in-law's funeral. And 2 days later, I did his funeral. So when I think about Mary Magdalene being lost in grief, that's what I equate it to. Someone who in your life has made a tremendous difference, and then all of a sudden, they're just taken. They're just taken. And what we know about Mary Magdalene is she just spent time just wandering, going back and forth and trying to find that comfort, trying to find that presence of the Lord. And I have to tell you, much of that year that followed, I did the same thing. I mean, I was at church. I was doing my pastoral duties. I was preaching. I was doing everything I needed to do. But inside, I still wanted to feel the presence of God, and I wanted to feel an understanding of God. What do I do with this grief? What do I do with it? And so, I'll never forget. You know how sometimes when people pass away and someone that's been close to you and you kind of stay away from things they used to do? Sometimes I have people say to me, you know, Pastor, it's hard for me to even come to church because my husband or my wife used to sit right next to me and I just can't do that. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done something that I can't do that because it makes me feel uncomfortable? Well, about a year later, I got a call from the racetrack and they said to me, you know, we're doing a little benefit here for Doug's family and would you come and pray? And I was just like, I just can't do this. You see, because it hurts. And my wife's just very patient with me, very patient with me. She said, you know, I'm not going to push you. She goes, but I think this is something that you need. And so I went. I went to the track. And when I went to the track, I have to admit, shaking a little bit. And I stood before the people there and I said this prayer. And I'll never forget, as I was saying that prayer, all of a sudden, a presence came about me. And it was amazing. A presence. And as I was looking out, I actually could hear the sound of that motorcycle. I actually could replay in my mind that voicemail that was on my phone. And all of a sudden, I just felt this presence of God who was lifting me out of this grief, saying to me, John, you need to do what you're doing. I will be with you. I will be with you. And that changed. That changed me. I think Mary Magdalene had a very similar experience. Running everywhere, trying to find the things, avoiding the things to find where Jesus was. She's running everywhere looking. And so we're told then in the story that she gets to the tomb and that the stone is rolled away. And then she runs to find and helps people and finds it empty. And then we're told an angel of the Lord says, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? And she says those words, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where to find him. I don't know where to find him. Have you ever said that? They've taken away, I feel like the Lord's been taken away, and I just don't know where to find him. And then she turns around, and all of a sudden, Jesus is standing there, and he's looking right at her, and he calls her name and says, Mary. And just with the sound of his voice calling her name that she's heard so many times before, this sheep, one of the good shepherds, she recognizes her voice of the good shepherd, and she turns and she says, Rabboni, teacher, it's you. It's you. Sermon note number 4. So Mary had this tremendous strength to remain and stay, but also that is it, that when Mary heard the voice of Jesus, she recognized it. She recognized it. And it was the turning point. So here's where the big part comes. Here's where the call comes. I think in that moment when he says to her, now you go, you know, don't hold on to me yet. Go and tell my brothers and sisters that I'm going to my Father and my God and your God. And that's where Mary experiences her call that she is worthy. Praying and remaining and searching desperately for Jesus pays off in her being able to see the risen Lord. In her being able to be called to go and share the message of the resurrection with her brothers and sisters. And the message that Mary says is these words, I have seen the Lord. And you know, sometimes we can't see the Lord until we're out in the middle of the sheep. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord from the rooftop. I have seen the Lord from a racetrack. I have seen the Lord when people are outfitting shoes for the shoeless. I've seen the Lord in this church. I've seen the Lord. Those are the words that Mary echoes. And out of her grief, now she has this strong presence and this strong testimony. And so I say to you today, have you seen the Lord? Have you allowed Jesus to touch your life? Have you opened yourself? Have you let some of the walls down and let him come and carry you and take you? We all need those words, I have seen the Lord. You know, I think back to my experience when I really had that I've seen the Lord experience. Think about that. And I just remember looking and thinking, you know what? John, you're human. Sometimes you actually need the Lord. One of the things that it taught me was as followers of Jesus Christ, we are always to be among the sheep. We are always to listen for God's voice and recognize it. And like Mary Magdalene, we have to take that message to other people. It's part of what we do. It's part of remaining and staying with Jesus Christ. And so today, I want to leave you with a song. And I pray that God will not only bless you, but bless me as we come to the end of this sermon and we seal this message that he has given to us.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, running fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life, only we can share. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord at the end of broken dreams. He's the open door. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord? People need the Lord.
Let's bow our heads. God, Lord, those words, I've seen the Lord. May that experience be ours, Lord. May that experience be ours, and may we go to all your people with those words, with your healing presence.